You may notice that my wife cut out, not for the Saints game. Maybe Rebecca cut out. But I'm not sure why she cut out, but you can ask her next week. Amen. But since she did cut out, she told me, I'll be leaving. So if you talk about me in your sermon, I won't know. And I said, oh, I have no plans to talk about you in my sermon. But this is before the sermon, so I'm just going to add a little caveat before the sermon. It is part of the inspiration for our message today. Something happened this week. My wife and I have been married 19 years. 19 years. I'm sorry, not this week, but we've been married 19 years. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a pastor, there's this big debate in Methodism whether Kirby John Caldwell in Texas has the biggest Methodist church, or whether Adam Hamilton outside of Kansas City has the biggest Methodist church. I don't know, but they both have pretty big churches. And Adam Hamilton did a survey of his congregation and of married couples. And this is one of the things that he found out. Between year 4 and year 20, couples are significantly less happy. Significantly less happy than in the first years and in the years after that. Now, you can all imagine why, right? I mean, life is just busy. You know, it's not going to stop. You may try to make it stop, but it's not going to stop. Those kids are going to be growing up for the next 18, 19 years. It's just going to be busy. Now, I don't think it has to be less happy, but I think that's the manifestation of what can happen in married life. So my wife and I, we only have one more year, and then we'll be perfectly happy. Amen? But here's the little caveat this week. Something happened, and I can't get it back. This never happens in our relationship except when we are apart. My wife and I went a whole day, and we did not kiss. We did not hug. We had no affectionate contact. That never happens in our relationship. Never. We are a very affectionate couple. But I know why it happened. It happened because I was angry about something. And so I allowed that day to get away from our relationship. And I will never get that day back. I will never get it back. I need to remember that and not hold on to it, because Jesus is not holding me in that spot. Let's pray. Good Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the living word that it opens up for us. May we hear the word that we need to hear as a congregation. May each of us hear the word that we need to hear that gives us new life in this world. May we carry it into the week and into every relationship. Amen. If you've been here the last few weeks, you'll notice we've been moving through Luke. And that's because the lectionary, the common lectionary, that's a collection of readings that the Church Universal offers. If you look in our bulletin, we print the common lectionary for next week. Somewhere in here. Well, you can find it, but I can't find it. Oh, under the prayer list, it says lectionary readings for next week. Now, at First Grace, we don't follow the lectionary readings religiously, but we're respectful of what has come before us, and we pay attention to them. And as pastorally, I tend to dance in and out of the lectionary as needed. But you may remember we stopped by and paid a visit to the Good Samaritan, where we were reminded that God is not against other cultures. He's just against you when your cultural loyalties do not allow you to be a neighbor to someone, to anyone in need. Then we had a little conversation about prayer, where the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, and he gave them that nice formal prayer, he taught us that formal prayer is nice, but just getting down on your hands and knees and say, "Help me, God," will do just fine. Then last week we stopped by and we heard Martha's story once again, and we were reminded that it is almost inevitable in life that we lose touch with the better part of things in all respects. And this week, this is an affirmation. It's a sort of a nice sequel to Martha's story. The lectionary takes us into the 14th chapter of Luke, and Luke gives us the heavenly banquet. Jesus' version of what heaven is like, the heavenly banquet. Now, about every week, as I've mentioned, I get to walk my children, a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, to school twice a week. And because God has seen it appropriate to break my arm, it's now a 20-minute walk. I get 20 minutes twice a week with my children. And in one of those walks, the 6-year-old asked me this question: "Daddy, where is heaven?" Now, I want you to know, if you're wondering, yes, we really get questions like this all the time. But if you're not paying attention, you will miss them. Like a day of kissing your wife, it'll just be whoosh, out the window. Now, where does my son get these questions? I blame his Sunday school teachers. Angela, Adrian, Jennifer, Miss Kristen before that. You know, it's Monday morning, we're walking to school, and he says, "Where is heaven?" I just let it hang there. And then he says, "Is it like past the moon in the sky?" And then he says, "What's it like? What's it like, Daddy? What's heaven like?" Well, if you read our parable today, this might be the answer. Heaven is something we do not have time for, no matter how good it is. We all have investments we have to take care of. We have cows that we need to milk. And hey, Jesus, we got married, and now I have a husband. And you know what that means? Turn out the lights, the party's over. Who's got time for heaven? We're married. This parable reminds us that heaven is something we believe we can live without day to day. We can get by without heaven in our daily coming and going, and even in our most intimate relationships, we can get by without heaven. We can get by believing that relationships will succeed if they are more utilitarian than beautiful, if we are more in the rut of routine instead of in the flow of sacred, spontaneous ritual, if we are more weighted down by the events of yesterday instead of waking up into the hope of a new day. This parable from Luke was told in first century Palestine. And we see that even back then, 2,000 years ago, Jesus says, people were too busy to come to the heavenly banquet. Even back then, they were too busy to take notice of God's heaven all around them. Even in the first century Palestine, they felt the pressing need to get their children to school in 10 minutes instead of in a 20-minute walk where you get to see the live oak trees, you get to see the crepe myrtles, you once in a while see that egret on the bayou, and you are with your 6-year-old long enough for him to ask, "Where is heaven?" All of that is given to you. And if you are lucky enough, God will break your arm when you are not paying attention and slow you down so you can have those 20 minutes. If you don't find a way to love your wife today, to love your wife this week, this year, this decade, you can't get it back. You can't get it back. And that is the edginess of the scripture today. You can read Jesus' last verse where he says to those people who were all too busy, and I'm never going to invite you again. I will make sure you never get to the banquet. You can read that flatly and harshly in those terms, or you can read it with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is saying, your life is real, and it is a gift from God. And you can see it that way, or you can pass it by day after day. Jesus is not trying to keep anyone from heaven. That's his proverbial slap in the face, trying to wake you up. It's saying, you missed a day of kissing your wife. I missed a day of kissing that woman. Can you believe it? I just let it happen. It didn't have to be that way. Jesus is getting our attention. And he's saying, if you can't see God's hand at work now, why do you think you would recognize it later? If you can't say something poetic and beautiful to your 6-year-old about heaven today, why do you think you would say something beautiful and poetic about it 20 years from now? Maybe 100 years from now, you'll be holding his hand and you'll be walking right by the pearly gates and some stranger named Jesus, and you won't even bother to wave to him. You'll just walk right by heaven's gate. This is Jesus' way of getting your attention and my attention, saying, look at what happened yesterday and don't let it happen again today. These three people that can't say yes to heaven, they're not bad people. They're not Attila the Hunt. They're like you and me. You see them every day. I see them every day at the coffee house. Hey, how's it going? Not too good. I don't even know his name. I just said, hey, how's it going? He said, not too good. I said, I'm sorry, why not? He said, things are bad on the home front. I said, oh, I'm sorry, yeah. The wife left me. Said, we can't work it out together. Maybe separating, we can work it out. I said, oh, I'm sorry. On to school. There's a father walking out of the school. I don't know his name. How's life? How's life, he says to me. I said, yeah, how's life? People are dying for you to ask them that question. How's life? He says, life's good. Maybe it's too good, he says. You know, I'm always overwhelmed. This is just casual 30-second conversation. I'm always overwhelmed, he says. I've always got too much to do. And you know what I said back to him? You always will. You always will. How long you been married? He says, 7 years. I said, oh, you got 13 to go. You're always going to have too much to do at this time, especially. You are. And it's a trap. It's a trap. You have to figure it out intentionally, week after week after week, or that one day becomes 2 and becomes 7 and it becomes a decade. Just like that, passing you by. Then there's the woman in the park. You're just watching kids with her. How you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Do you like your work? Well, it's not very good for my ego. I mean, it's really great work. I have a group of people. I love seeing them every day, and I'm with students, and I love my students, but I don't have the title that my friends have and that I want to have. So I don't know. It doesn't feel very good. Sounds to me like you have a lot to celebrate, amen? It's all right there. It's all right there. These are not bad people in Jesus' parable. The paradox is, when we read this parable, we think the lame and the blind and the poor are all disenfranchised. They are. They are disenfranchised from our world. They are not disenfranchised from God. And that's why when they're invited to the heavenly banquet, they say, let's go. I need this. We are disenfranchised from God. We don't know how to say yes to God. We want to say yes. but we've been living like this so long, we don't know how to do it anymore. The day became a week, and it became a decade, and we don't know how it happened. The way we say yes is we use a four-letter world that those of you who see yourself as one of those three people have been taught never to use. And the word is help. The word is help. Help me. Help me see that this is a new day. It is a heavenly day. No matter what happened to me, no matter how bad I blew yesterday, help me today not do it again. That is a humbling word. And people with titles don't like to be humbled, amen? We like to be in charge. We like to be right. We like to know why that woman doesn't deserve a kiss. Why that child doesn't deserve 20 minutes with me. Why I should feel better about myself. Today is a new day, and it is your day. The way you say yes to it is you say help. Help is another word for community. It is another word for church. Lord, help me say yes to going to disciple Bible study for 34 weeks. Help me say yes. I'm going to meet a group of people there, and some of them are like me. They've been married for 7 years. And they got some of the same thing going on that I got going on. Lord, help me get my child here to Sunday school, because that child is going to ask me a question during the week that I am totally unprepared for. Where is heaven, Daddy? Help me come to this church every week. Because if I don't know my Father, you can meet the Father right here. Help me, Lord, week after week, open myself to your goodness. That is what Jesus offers us each and every week. That is why we call it the gospel. And what does the gospel mean? It means good news. Good news today, good news tomorrow, good news next year, and it is all waiting for us to say yes. Amen? Amen. Let the people say, help me.
Help me.
Amen.